This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, folks. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Varaj.
Rita Liu.
Almost time for us to wrap up. We've got one more story for you, though. It's a quick one. If you want to get in touch, you've got about 7 minutes if you want to give us a story regarding first impressions. So this one is all about the Australian government. They want to force companies to help it get at suspected criminals' data. If they can't, it would jail people for up to a decade if they refuse to unlock their phones. So, this is because of the country's Assistance and Access Bill introduced this week for public consultation. It strengthens the penalties for people who refuse to unlock their phones for the police. Under Australia's existing Crimes Act, judges can jail a person for 2 years for not handing over their data. The proposed bill extends that up to 10 years, arguing that the existing penalty wasn't strong enough. The bill takes a multi-pronged approach to accessing a suspect's data by co-opting third parties to help the authorities. Essentially, they get in touch with the phone companies and say, look, we want access to this guy or girl's phone. Please let us in. If you don't, or if you can't, then we have to put this person behind bars for 10 years. And I kind of, the reason I wanted to talk about this story is to ask your guys' opinion about this, right? Let's just say, for example, for whatever reason, the police get in touch with you or the phone company gets in touch with you and they say, we need to have access to your phone. How would you feel about that? In general?
Well, not comfortable.
Right. But.
I mean, if it involves the police, then there's nothing much you can do, right?
Right.
So then I would reluctantly let them.
Yeah. Reluctantly.
But otherwise, I wouldn't. Anyone else, I think anyone other than the police, I'd say, like, no, absolutely not.
You'd right. say no,
yeah,
go.
Even phone companies.
Yeah.
Even phone
Take
companies.
Take a hike kind of discussion.
Yeah,
I agree with you. So there's this whole, you know, should the phone companies allow backdoors or should they not allow backdoors?
Mm.
And I think that's kind of where this discussion moves towards, is that a lot of the Australian phone companies are now thinking about whether or not they should allow backdoors into the software of the phones that they provide. And that kind of worries me when one phone company starts doing it, another phone company elsewhere hears about it and thinks, well, okay, maybe we can future-proof things by doing that. And then if it happens a little bit later on down the line, we've already got that system in place. We can already do that. We've seen how much data breach there
right.
is lately.
Yeah.
You know.
But, it's a very difficult thing, right? If it's a criminal offense and you've got this sort of evidence, right, what would you do that? And we're trusting that the telcos will do the right thing, right, and just do that in the case of a criminal offense. But, you know.
But, I mean, you know, we talk about WhatsApp having end-to-end encryption
and
some of the other stuff out there. You know, Snapchat as well, that's supposed to have or did have end-to-end encryption that doesn't have it. You know, these are all things that we kind of rely on now. I mean, it's not that we have anything to hide, but just that very thought of something which you assume to be private is private.
Right.
You know, I think gives us a sense of relief. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, no, because phones are your whole lifestyle is locked in your phone.
Yeah.
Like the contacts, your every conversation that you've had, your bookings, where you go eat, you know.
Yeah.
So people can basically like chart out what you're doing on a day-to-day basis just by if they know how to decipher your phone.
Right.
So why would you give it to someone unless it's like completely like 100% crucial, it'll help them solve like a murder.
Mm.
Then, you know, you let them like unlock your phone.
Yeah.
If it would help in this case. But otherwise, why would you let anyone, even telco companies, yes, but telco companies are not... like the police, they would know, you would assume that they would know like step by step how to go about the data and how to secure your data afterwards.
Right.
Telco companies don't have to abide by that. They just need to unlock your data. What they do with your data afterwards is not their problem. I wouldn't say not their problem. It's not as crucial as what the police would do.
So currently what happens is, I mean, this is what the bill doesn't allow. So the government can't force a company to build weaknesses into a product or stop it from fixing those that it finds. That rules out encryption backdoors. Neither can it access information without a warrant. However, the proposed legislation also creates a new class of access warrant that lets police officers get evidence from devices in secret before the device encrypts it, including intercepting communications and using other computers to access the data. That's just sniffing, you know, sniffing for information. The issue with that is it's trying to assume that somebody is doing something wrong before they actually do it. And yeah. I think that's what bothers me about this.
Yeah, and we're trying to, like, we keep, like, on a daily basis, people try to patch up all these, like, security problems and, you know, holes in the the firmware that, you know, will allow access to other people in. So it's a bit weird that they would, on purpose, allow someone to get your information if they needed to. Even if it's the police, even if it's the, like, authorities and stuff, purposely putting in, like, backdoor access when you are, like, there's a whole other community, like, struggling to patch up security problems seems a bit, like, redundant.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's us at the end of the show then, ladies and gentlemen. We have come all this way around. We started off with a story about, Frida, what was it?
Well, first impression is often wrong.
Yes. Then we moved on to how Uber lost $891 million in their second quarter, potentially the death of the self-driving division.
Yeah. Then we spoke about a few tips from a company called Basecamp and how you can actually get some work done in an open office.
Okay, but don't go anywhere, ladies and gents. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. With Chia Nam Thun, the Assistant Group CEO and CEO of REITs, R-E-I-T-S, and REITs. Business Development. REITs, is it?
REITs.
And development for ARA. ARA Asset Management is one of the largest REIT managers in Asia, managing assets worth over 230 billion ringgit across 20 countries. The Assistant Group CEO was in the studio this morning to speak to the Breakfast Grill about the company's plans for Malaysia. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Don't forget, though, we've got some music coming up from the Wonder Stuff with Don't Let Me Down Gently. That's up next, followed by a bit of Weezer, and then a little bit later on. What have we got coming up? Do we have... Raise Your Game with Anita Lawrence. That's coming up at 1:30 this afternoon. Don't go anywhere. This is it. You've been listening to Enterprise here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.